Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's Feather snapcam.com.
Jamie, you are never ready for when I push the button.
I literally have goldfish, the snack, in my mouth right now.
I feel like you're not... Oh, welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. But I feel like you're not a mother if you don't eat goldfish.
I forgot to eat dinner tonight.
You should say a parent. You forgot to eat. Listen, 9/11 happened and I made a tray of ziti. I don't ever forget to eat.
It's just with the two kids and with the 5-month-old, I'll go through the whole day and realize, oh my God, I'm having a beer and I didn't even eat. No, that's not true. Mom, it's not true. Anyway, welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we are so happy to have you listening to us.
And I am hopped up on Allegra D today because I got the allergies.
We're just a hot mess.
Yeah, no, this. I'm not saying this is going to go well.
No, it is. You know why it's going to go well? Because we have a really awesome couple coming in here to talk to.
We really do. Yeah. Anthony and Gary.
Mm-hmm. I love them. And you know what?
What?
It's our first actual gay male couple.
Is that true?
We've talked to gay guys.
Like it,
but their spouses were never able to come.
That's true. That's true.
So this is our first gay male actual
couple.
And they
have a non-traditional family like times a thousand.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear this story because I just in my pre-call with Anthony, it just like I was like, "What?" And then that happened. So like this is going to be good.
It's a good story. Yeah. And they're good people.
Let's get them in
so
here,
good
right?
People make me feel bad about me.
Well, everybody makes you feel bad about you. Stop doing that.
I'm going to eat my goldfish, Jamie, but let's bring them in here.
You're good enough. You're smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me.
All right. Some people. Anyways, okay, let's bring them in.
Hey, how are you?
Anthony and Gary with us.
Yes, very excited to have you guys.
No, can I call you Tony or are we in the Anthony?
No, call me Tony, my friend.
Okay, all right.
Tony. And I'd like to be called Linda.
I was going to say, I answer
you
your
never
pretty much
know.
Anything.
That's why you never come when I call.
Is that why?
That's good.
Well, this is so exciting to have you guys here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know we're going to get right to it, and we're going to be talking elevator pitch about the two of you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my first question is, who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Ooh.
So
the lawyer's going first.
Gary,
did anybody notice?
Fancy that. Gary and I met in 1989, mm-hmm. and I was just out of graduate school. And we met across a crowded dance floor.
Oh,
like
Tony
and Maria.
Wait, it was the 80s?
Late
80s. Shirts on or shirts off?
Probably off.
I love it.
I just walked in, so my shirt was still on.
And it was in the city in New York?
In New York.
I was always fascinated by that, with the gay men.
Do you remember the music?
Of course.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. There were five floors of music at this club.
It was an old meatpacking place where Madonna music was always in the basement, and there was even jazz on the fourth floor, and they had a roof deck as well.
Did anyone go to the jazz floor?
Yeah, if you wanted to be quiet,
if you wanted to
make
to,
out,
like, hang out.
No,
or
actually,
make out.
I don't think I was thinking. Was it, this wasn't around in 2000?
No, okay. It's where the Standard Hotel is now.
Of course it is. It's a hotel where like people from Iowa come.
It was called Mars, and on Friday
Sundays.
Nights, Sunday nights, it was Mars Needs Men.
I
had gone out on a sort of date. My date and I had decided that we were just going to be friends.
Yeah. In the middle of the date?
Dinner.
Probably dinner before
but
the date.
But you still went
and
to the club.
We still went to the club. And I saw Gary.
There was just like an understanding of like, okay, bye.
Yeah exactly. Oh, and he was cool. He was really cool. Thank you, Sean. and I saw Gary, and I looked at Sean, and I said, that's him.
Oh.
And I knew it.
Stop.
I absolutely knew it when I saw him. It sounds so cliche, but 29 years later, we are we're still chugging.
I love it. Gary's going to be like, yeah, I didn't feel that way.
No, oh, his kidding. Version of the story is different and interesting.
In your opinion, elevator pitch, what's your dynamic?
As in most couples, Gary is the fun one. I'm the one who gets us there on time. I think that has played out in a lot of areas of our life, in our family planning and our vacation planning and everything. He always makes sure that we have a good time.
Is he fun dad?
Oh, he is the fun dad.
He gets the donuts at Starbucks,
He's
right?
He's totally the fun dad.
Oh, fun dad. Yeah.
He plays out on the street. And
I'm not the fun mom.
I'm not the fun mom.
There has to be. We are an integral part of relationships.
We are.
Yeah.
But we need our Gary, so I'm glad I have mine.
Okay. Oh, I love that. All right. Go
Me
ahead,
too.
Gary.
I'm glad for you too, Tony.
Thank you.
Well, I again walked into this bar and I saw him with this other guy and they were both cute. And I thought, oh, he's cute. And one of them used himself to go to the restroom. And I thought, from remembering in communications class, it's easier to go up and talk to one person than two or more. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, if I'm going to talk to him, this would be the moment because he's alone. If the guy comes back, then I probably won't. So I went over and that was the beginning. And at 27, who would think, this is going to be forever? And there was a commercial in the 80s for ginger ale where this woman was said, if you asked me when I was younger what my idea was going to be, I'd meet somebody tall, dark, and handsome. We'd go dancing every night. And this is from when your tastes grow up. And it pans back. And she's sitting on a sofa with this guy with blonde hair and glasses and they're watching television. And that's how I feel. So we were young and crazy and wild and traveled the world.
Yeah,
and now here we are.
We had an amazing life before Nicholas, and now we
did. You got all the good stuff out before you have kids.
Yeah,
you took time.
When we met, Gary was a flight attendant, so we could go all over the world.
With the buddy pass.
Oh, yep, absolutely.
I flew on the buddy pass when I went away to college because my uncle worked for the airline. I did the buddy pass a lot. I got in first class a lot. It was so fun.
Well, one of the interesting things is the buddy pass versus if you're a spouse, and this was so important to marriage equality because you're not a legal, no matter how long you've been with somebody, you're not a legal relative. So you can only use a buddy pass. It's all based on tax code because you're not family. Oh. So you can't. And actually, family comes first and then buddies, like paying people, employees. So,
I was the lowest, like, priority of getting
you
on
were
board.
You're always like, I hope no one shows up.
Exactly.
That's stressful. It's so stressful.
Where you get, if it was your spouse, you got unlimited and it was free.
Yeah.
But a buddy pass, you got so many a
pay,
year
right?
and you had to pay a tax. So, when the talk of marriage equality came around, a lot of gay people weren't for it. Men of a certain age were like, no, we fought against this. We don't want to
imitate
it.
A lot of gay men in particular, I remember, were not like jazzed about marriage equality.
You know, they were, and then, also, of course, women of a certain age, I mean, marriage is patriarchal or was, whatever, you know.
Right.
So they were like, no. So some friends we had to first convince our friends. And when
this
I
is
to-
why.
When
yeah.
I told one friend who was a flight attendant, who was of a certain age.
Yeah.
Said, no, we rebelled against it and we don't want to imitate it. When I said, you know, your partner would be able to fly for free. Just sign me up. I'm a suffragette.
Yeah.
So once you spoke to what affected people's lives.
Well, that's pretty much everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Also affect me.
Not my backyard.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you're on a podcast about non-traditional families. Mm-hmm. And so just tell us about your family.
I think one of the segues from what Gary was talking about, because we were on the board of a nonprofit organization called the Wedding Party that advocated and educated about marriage equality. Mm-hmm. And that really encompassed so much of our lives when we were working on it. And then when it happened, our focus kind of shifted. And at a wedding party event, at a wedding party fundraiser, we met our friends, Leslie and Alicia, mm-hmm. who we had been talking with another couple who were on the board of the wedding party who wanted to have a known donor. Mm-hmm. And
they wanted to have a baby with a known donor.
They wanted to have mm-hmm. a baby, but they wanted to have a known donor sure. to help them. And through conversations, you know, we decided they were moving to Washington and it probably wasn't best. And then we started talking to Alicia and Leslie about it. And they were really interested.
Now, why is everyone coming to you for babies? Were you just like, it was like the taxi cab light was on? Or it was like
know.
A
subliminal?
It was Karen and Francine who were the first. And there was an email I saw they sent you. And I just responded, are you looking?
About sperm donation.
We have this stuff. I know it can be expensive.
We've got and some business.
They didn't even really respond. But that's what started the conversation. Because like, we got the stuff
and
it's free.
And it started and us thinking about
that's
it.
That's what
too.
I was going to say. Right. So you two had a conversation about it.
Yeah.
So at this point, how long have you guys been together?
15 years.
Oh, so you
years.
Were in it to win it. Yeah. And were you married? I mean, you know, you never know. I don't know.
No,
you were
the
on
time.
The brink of divorce.
Yeah, no, we got married.
Because Massachusetts was, it wasn't an option for us because we didn't own land there. Do you know the whole, like when Massachusetts allowed
I do
marriage,
vaguely remember
but
this.
You had to have property there. So we
yeah,
couldn't.
Yeah, they had an anti-miscegenation law that dated back to
yes.
interracial
oh,
marriage in
1916.
So you can't just come here to get married.
Right. Governor Mitt Romney said that
right.
if your marriage couldn't be performed in your home state, you can't come to my home state. Mm.
Which meant nobody
married.
Could.
Right.
Right. So we went to.
Because people were flocking.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
wanted to flock.
People yes. wanted to.
I remember.
And the first place that you could go that was a sure thing was Canada.
And Tony's dad had
and that's
just
where we went.
Passed away, and my dad had the beginning of Parkinson's, so we thought by the time it's legal in New York, he either won't be alive or
right.
can't travel here, so we went to Canada.
Yeah, and the day before we got married in Montreal, it went nationwide in Canada. So it was a really big deal when we were up there.
That's
it was
cool.
wonderful, and our families came, and in a way, I'm kind of glad that we had them come. Mm-hmm. It was a destination mm-hmm. wedding because
yeah.
they had to realize that, boy, we could have just gone yeah. to our church, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
for anybody else, but for Tony and Gary,
we had to go somewhere. But
this is what we have to do.
Accepted it.
Oh.
Yeah, I love Montreal.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
we had the best time. So we finally met Leslie and Alicia, and we talked to them, and we ended up with Piper. Who's now almost 13.
So you donated.
So if we donated, yes.
Was you're a lawyer, back mm-hmm. and forth legal. Like, were you saying up front, we want to be in the kid's life? Like, what was
no,
that a lot?
No, we really so said, if you want any contact or no contact, we're totally open. Whatever happens.
You were just going to do it no matter what. Don't care if I get to see the kid. Or you were just like, we want to be helpful.
We yeah. knew from the start that it was their family.
You were just
and
helpful
if,
gays.
And you weren't worried.
It saves money. My parents were, you know, depression era. You use things that you got. So then I knew none of our friends had tons of money. So that's
yeah.
why I thought, if you can use it, I won't take it personally. I know my grandparents lived to be 100. There's health in my family.
And so you're the one who donated, Gary.
That's when I offered to the first couple. And then the second couple, who thought about it, but then they were going to move away. And then
Leslie and Alicia, and I donated.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So
how did you decide who donated?
Well, we were both kind of working with both partners at the same time. And Alicia got pregnant first.
Okay, so you donated for one of them, and mm-hmm. you donated for the other one, and whoever got it first was going to be the one to...
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah.
Talk about letting the universe decide.
Holy
but
moly!
I do want to. I do want to address your question.
Were you guys competition? Were you like, I won?
No, I think because you had blonde hair like Leslie, and I was darker like Alicia.
Right.
So did you go? So then did you cross that?
Yeah, you opposite.
Did you go with the darker hair?
Yes.
Just so that you each had something in. Right.
Yes. But
I'm sure it was their
but
decision.
But we were very, very clear mm-hmm. that I was not. I was surrendering my parental rights mm-hmm. to whoever was the non-biological mom. We would do that through adoption. Mm-hmm. And that then whatever relationship we have with the children is up to them afterwards, mm-hmm. which is...
Did you know before the baby what that was going to be, or has it evolved over time?
I think it's evolved over time, but we knew that...
They also live a block from us.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then
the kids go to the same school.
Oh, my God.
So, so it's a wonderful kind of family forest as yeah. opposed to a family tree.
Definitely non-traditional.
Family forest. That's fantastic. Yeah.
But it changed the way that we thought about parenting, because for the first time, you know, we kind of kidded with one another that Piper was our test child.
Because we could babysit her and, you know, parent and be fun and
yeah.
help study and then drop her off and still go see a show.
Yeah.
You were like the donor uncles. What is that? Yeah. The dunkle.
You lucked out. And so,
and while babysitting, go ahead, Jamie,
when you donated, you didn't know if you would be a part of her life or not when you guys did the donation.
They had said that they wanted us to play a part, but we didn't try to define it. We didn't.
You just trusted it would be okay.
Yeah, we kind of trusted in the universe, which from a lawyer's perspective is probably not the best thing to do.
I'm so surprised.
Robin keeps getting all up in arms with all these people who don't.
I always get bunched when there's not a contract.
No, I draft those contracts.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But I think they knew, because I'm a family law attorney and a trust and estates attorney, and I practice this kind of law, that our conversation and our relationship was that our word was bond.
Right. Wow.
So and we did. We went through the the second parent adoption process, and they have their family now.
Wow. So Piper's this child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so at what point are you like, I want to do this?
We had a neighbor that passed away and left us some money, and that was really the thing that
Just a random neighbor.
This is the best New York story in the world.
Oh my God! Just growing up,
Italian women outlive men.
Yeah,
I was raised by all these women, and you just mm-hmm. are nice to old ladies. That is just a part of the DNA. Right. You just do. So in all the years I've lived, all 30 years,
it really is a deeply ingrained part of Gary.
Is that, take care of people.
No, I would be mad at him because I'd be on the street and I'd turn around and he'd be gone. And he'd be like ushering a little old lady across the street, or he'd be checking on someone who was by themselves.
Yeah.
So he really does. Like his parents taught him so well about taking care of other people.
In all 30 years, I've always lived on walk-ups, and there's always been an old lady on an upper floor. And I've always said, if you need my help, and the place we are now, and we helped a woman for 10, 15 years, and really on her deathbed.
Just like bringing her groceries, helping her up the stairs.
She also had some cancers and illnesses and helped with that.
She was a hoarder. Her apartment was the most horrendous place you've ever seen.
That's such a horrific disease. It's just so sad.
But she was such a brilliant person. Mm-hmm. She lived this wildly rich life.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really fortunate to be able to get to know her.
She had silent film stars. Some of her friends were all blacklisted writers, directors, producers, and they all hung out Shelter Island. When China opened up to travel, she was one of the first people that was invited to go.
Mm.
So she, I mean, really.
Just amazing stories.
After she passed away, I knew her books and her art and her jewelry were important. I was going through her books, and she had signed Hemingway.
She had a first edition Hemingway.
Wow.
And it was incredible.
Did she have any family?
She had a brother, and that was it.
She had a brother who was a pilot for Pan Am in the heyday, an international 747 pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked to him, you know, a few times. And finally, at the very end, when we knew it was her last illness.
She said, my brother thinks you don't like him. And I said, I don't. You've been really sick in the hospital, close to death 3 times, and he hasn't come to visit.
And you guys would go visit.
We would take care of her twice a day. We would bring her her mail and help her with her bills.
And with my mom, if somebody's in the hospital, she made you lasagna.
That's what you do. Yes.
And so then we called and told him and said, "Look, you have to come, or you will not see your sister again." And he flew up, and
he and his wife came up, and they saw
everything she was living in,
and they knew from us what was going on. And I think that's also what made the difference, because in probate law in New York, you have to have the consent of the closest living legal relative mm-hmm. for a will to be allowed into mm-hmm. probate. Mm-hmm. So that meant the brother had to say, it's okay. Because what she did was she left half of her estate to Gary and I, and she left half to her brother. And he could have said,
no.
Because we didn't know she came from like this family fortune.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was a very significant amount of money that she left us, which we never ever would have been able to have our family if she hadn't. So I think he understood and he appreciated what we did for her. Mm. And we still have her ashes in our apartment.
Yeah. We sprinkled them a few places around the city because she loved New York.
And around the world.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, because at one point she wanted to learn Italian, so she went to live in Italy in Positano. And
of course she did. Yeah. This lady sounds fantastic.
She was so cool.
We had friends who went to Positano from Grove Street who went there every summer, and I said, look, I'm going to send you some of her ashes. Do you mind scattering them? And because she used to live in Positano. And I took a book from her library and I haul it out the middle because I don't think it's legal to send ashes in the mail.
No, I think it's not.
And so you are I haul it out.
Lawyer.
We don't get that many listens. You're fine.
I hauled out the middle of the book and I put in her ashes and I sent it off. And our friends subletted a place. So the mail comes and the hostess, the woman who owns the apartment, picked it up and said, oh my God, this is from my friend Jan, because 50 years ago, our now deceased friend was best friends with their
wait,
host.
What? Yeah,
because when we sent them, we put her name as the return address.
Right.
So we sent them to the woman who lived there, and she thought it was Jan sending her. And then she opened it and she said, "Oh my gosh, our friend so and so must have died because Jan sent me ashes."
Oh.
and she really changed everything for us because all of a sudden we had this opportunity to have the family the way that we really wanted to.
But my question for you is, why did you know that you didn't want to adopt it? Because I'm assuming the money you needed for surrogacy.
Right.
So was it just that was the way that was going to work for you guys? What can you tell us about that?
I always thought that we would probably adopt because I always felt there's enough food, money, love, and water in the world. We just have to get it to where it needs to go.
Because of the depression.
Right, exactly.
You were very affected by the depression.
I was, whatever.
By the way, have never heard any, I've heard people talk about extra ketchup, never extra sperm when referring to the depression. I think that might be a first.
Yeah.
But go ahead, sorry.
What was I saying?
So you were saying you thought you would have a baby through adoption.
Oh, right.
And we looked into adoption.
Yeah.
You know, we went to meetings at the center and all of that, but
I think this just gave us the, okay, now we can do it now, honestly, as quickly as we need to.
Oh, because adoption, the time frame.
And also you were not young anymore.
No,
right?
We weren't. We were 45. And it's one of the things that I see a lot in my practice is couples who want to go through the adoption process with surrogacy, if you're fortunate enough to be able to go through the surrogacy process, the timing is a lot more defined. It's a lot. It's. Mm-hmm. I think people don't understand that once you get in the track and you're matched with your gestational carrier and your egg donor, depending on how lucky the transfer is, you can have a child in, you know, our process was probably a year and a half from when we first realized that we could do it to when we had Nicholas.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's potentially a lot quicker than adoption could be.
Well, it's known too, whereas adoption could be quick and could be really long.
Right.
So it's like you have a sense.
Well, the surrogacy could take forever too if it doesn't work out and, you know.
We did think, honestly,
Should we get a bigger apartment or should we have a kid? And I said, at the end of our lives, what are we going to wish that we had, a family or a bigger apartment?
By the way, in New York, that's a legit question.
It's a question that
New Yorkers will get.
Right. Yeah.
And one girlfriend who was in real estate said, Gary, you can have a kid anytime, but you should buy now. And
she always looks a little guilty when she comes to visit us now.
So when this documentary came out and when it premiered at the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, we all went out to eat afterwards. I just remembered, oh, Catherine, remember when you said?
and one of the things that Gary just mentioned.
The documentary.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough through one of Piper's moms to be connected to CNN that at the time.
Amazing.
Which documentaries had they done by then?
Black in America and Latina in America.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they wanted
That's
to
Soledad
do...
That's Soledad O'Brien, right?
Yeah. Soledad O'Brien, mm-hmm. yeah. And they wanted to do a Gay in America mm-hmm. series. And when it started, they were going to do, I think, half of the... It was supposed to be a four-hour documentary, and half was going to be on our journey.
Mm-hmm. And others in New York. Other stories.
And other stories in New York, because our story really had a lot of possible offshoots.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then I think they were originally thinking about doing...
Some place in the Midwest.
Lesbian center in the Midwest to tell stories about that. But it ended up getting whittled down to a one-hour documentary mm-hmm. called Gary and Tony Have a Baby. So for 18 months, we had a film crew with us.
Wow.
18 months.
18 months.
You know what it's like to be a reality star now.
Oh, yes.
Except for with credibility.
Right, totally.
They followed us to an early marriage equality protest. Mm-hmm.
They had donors us. Home. The when they followed us down to... Or the egg donor.
Oh, yes. They followed us to our egg donor.
You used a known donor?
We used a known donor, and we did because of our experience with Leslie and Alicia.
Right.
Because we knew the importance of having that relationship. Uh-huh. And the hardest thing I think that we had to agree on was not to... Like, we had to sleep on these major decisions. We couldn't, like, just get caught up in the moment and go, we love you all! Yeah.
So, which is really what happened.
Which is totally what happened. Right. But so we went down to our egg donor, Holly, is in the military, active duty in the military. Oh. She's a single mom, uh-huh. and she was stationed in Jacksonville at the time.
Oh, my cousin was an anchor woman on the news in Jacksonville.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a lovely city. Mm-hmm.
They were Neptune.
Yeah, so that's right. We went down and we got this hotel room. And
when we looked at profiles, we've been together before longer than dating profiles were on. So when we started looking at profiles online, we had never done that before.
Yeah, we were like, this is fantastic.
It was just crazy.
And I read one, I thought, oh my God, this woman sounds amazing. And then I looked at another one, I said, oh, this woman uses capital letters. Maybe, like...
Yeah. She's yelling at us. Like, no, thank you.
No, like, actually.
No, she's using good punctuation.
Didn't even have any punctuation.
Yeah, right. Yeah, gotcha. And I was like, how do we judge this? So, right, that's why we decided...
Those are the things.
That's why you decided to go with a known person.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say, that's why you decided to go, because of capital letters.
Yeah, no.
Because of grammar.
No, we knew...
I get that.
We knew from Holly's profile, but what sealed the deal was she came to visit us at our hotel room, and she brought her son, and she brought a handful of family photo albums. So one of my favorite memories it was amazing. One of my favorite memories was sitting with Holly at the table going through the family photo albums while Gary and her son Noah bounced back and forth on the beds behind us. I told you he was the fun one.
Yeah.
And we knew.
So he was like five or six at the time.
It just felt right. So you did. Oh, so it wasn't a friend you had before.
No. Our fertility clinic and our surrogacy agency.
But some of the donors said, I don't even want to know what comes of my egg, let alone meet you.
And you knew those people were out.
Correct.
Right.
We're lucky because Holly was completely open, and Shannon, our surrogate mom, our gestational carrier, they were both open to having an ongoing relationship
with us. Amazing.
Now, for me, fascinating question. So you're into open and relationships. You obviously have a relationship with the egg donor. Mm-hmm. Did you keep a relationship with a surrogate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we call her on Christmas. And Nicholas, one of the things that we started doing was taking pictures of Nicholas like every month. And the first 2 years, it was every month. Now it's like every 4 months. We take a picture and take a postcard back that you can peel the back off and make the picture a postcard and send Holly and Shannon and our family members postcards.
That's nice.
So they have a whole catalog of pictures of Nicholas growing up from when he was first born.
And Nicholas knows them both.
Nicholas knows everything.
And he knows Holly personally. Mm-hmm. Holly is the...
Egg donor,
right.
And she's his egg mama. He calls her his egg mama. And he calls Shannon his belly mama.
And does he consider them equal? I mean, I don't even know how to, like, it's like the hierarchy of the, or is it just all is love?
It's all is love and pretty equal. We see, because Holly was in the military, she went to, was it San Diego, then Hawaii, so we don't really see her much.
We haven't seen her as much, but she's coming back to the East Coast.
But so Shannon, we see like maybe every other year. She's made it to Pittsburgh, where I grew up. She's been to New York.
She came to my mom's house in West Virginia.
Oh. I'm so overwhelmed by your family. I can't remember the birthday of my one niece.
it's interesting that all of the recent studies, and there's lots of studies now about alternative families, about alternative families through surrogacy, and also about children's welfare and health and their sort of emotional capability of understanding this information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the studies are showing that the earlier you share the origin story with your child, the better
really
adaptive they are to it. Mm-hmm. So we've been very, very open and honest about it.
We went home to see our moms a lot. And one time Nicholas said, you know, you have Mimi and Papa has Soupy. I want to have a mom. I said, you do. I went and got the picture. I'm like, you have Holly and Shannon. He goes, well, can I talk to them? This is about 3 years. I was like, sure. So called
Shannon.
Do you mind that? And she goes, no, not at all. Aww. And like it went that quick.
Yeah.
And they talked on the phone for like 5 seconds. And then he threw it down and that's went all did something and else. And I heard him tell a classmate who said something about he didn't have a mother. And Nicholas said, oh, I have two.
Like, wow. So yeah.
Oh, my favorite story is I went to pick him up at after school and his friend Sebastian was in the class and I walked in and he saw me and he said, hey, Nicholas, how come you have two dads? And without missing a beat, he said, because I'm lucky.
Yeah. Oh,
just melted my heart.
Yeah.
It was that's the greatest amazing answer in the world.
And we didn't ask who was the donor for
Nicholas.
Gary, can we ask that?
So,
no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Do you mind? Yeah.
No, no, also, no. And Tony just said, since I have Piper, I mean, I want you to have this.
Right.
I knew that I was going to love our son no matter what.
Right. And so, you already saw your
DNA going forward over there.
Yeah.
It's a better way to say it than I was going to say.
Right. You were going to just say stuff.
You saw your stuff in the world.
Yeah.
No, it's really interesting because Gary really is, and we are like a traditional family. We were taught to grow up and get married and have kids.
Right.
And we did.
And you did.
I think that instinct, I mean, you guys mm-hmm understand.
Yeah.
That instinct it transcends orientation. Yeah. It transcends gender. It's to have a family.
Right. Yeah. I never wanted to get married.
See, you guys talked about that a little bit at the beginning, about that whole like the patriarch and the man and all that business. I never had an issue. I always took the other side, which was like, hey, we're fighting for the right to be like you if I choose or not.
Right.
I don't.
Exactly.
And I chose to, I always believed it's important to stand in front of the people I love and make a commitment. Because otherwise, don't we wander off? Sometimes. Mm. I mean, I don't, but a lot of people do.
A spiritual point of view and an emotional point of view, you're absolutely right. And I know that the day we got married, there was a palpable change. I could feel the importance of that moment, and not just in our lives, but in our family's lives.
The people around me standing in front of me.
I agree with that. And I didn't want to do it, and we were so scared to do it. I mean, we wanted to do it, but we were so scared to get up in front of our families and do the whole marriage thing. But yes, I agree. There was a big palpable change that happened, not just with us and in our hearts, but in the people around us.
But I mean, I've also too felt that it was important for like a dude like my dad who grew up on a farm in upstate New York and maybe wasn't the most progressive guy, fill in, you know, you can figure the rest out, for him to see two ladies standing on a beach saying they love each other. He changed because we did that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I always felt that was important to do, but I think I have more of a minority opinion in our communities, but whatever.
I don't know.
They're not on this podcast, so I don't care.
Robin.
Oh, Jamie will care. We're going to get hate mail. Jamie's going to get mad. Jamie, we can cut it out.
We love everyone.
I'm not going to cut it out.
there's another twist.
Go. Oh, there's more?
True.
Well, that Nicholas has another sister. I have another child.
Wait, with another family?
No, with the same family.
What's going on? You guys are just spreading it around.
After Nicholas was born, Alicia was Piper's biological mom.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie really wanted to have a child.
Oh.
And so...
Are they still together at this point?
No. They were still together, yes, when they started. And very soon after True was born, they split up.
Okay. Oh.
So Nicholas has another sibling, essentially, who a person who he considers a sibling. And True is a year younger than Nicholas.
Oh.
And so they're fast friends. They see each other a lot. And they're
in the school.
Also in the same school.
Oh, my goodness. And True is a boy or a girl?
True is a girl.
True is a girl.
True is a girl,
So he has, like, two sisters.
He has two
sisters. In the same school.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It really is wonderful. And I feel so lucky to have been able to help them have their family. I mean, it's a real honor for me.
Yeah.
And
they all still live in the same neighborhood. Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the moms moved out to Brooklyn.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Like you do. She's a lesbian.
Like you do.
Well, eventually you have to.
I mean, I'm going to end up there someday.
Yeah, we all will.
It's delightful.
Let me get that backyard.
They have a backyard.
They do.
You see?
They have a backyard.
It's just the dream. Yeah, I want to go where the gays are. Yeah.
The gays are everywhere now. That's the beauty. You don't have to just like go to a neighborhood anymore.
Yeah, right. It's true. It's very true.
I would love to take a little right turn and ask you. I know that you guys do some volunteer work around the surrogacy business, and I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, one of the reasons why we knew how we were going to have our family was because of a group at the Gay and Lesbian Center that mm-hmm. we went to. That group turned into a group called Men Having Babies, uh-huh. And now I'm the chairman of the board. I've been having babies. I've been for the last 6 years.
Well, you're a man who had a baby.
Yeah, a man who had a baby. And our organization started off with this really beautiful small seed of education.
Mm-hmm. What is the organization?
It's called Men Having Babies.
Oh, okay. You were talking about the center one.
And the center one was Planned Biological Parenting for Men/Men Having Babies.
Okay.
And then we spun off of that,
and now we're just Men Having Babies.
You're like what a different world was to the Cosby Show.
Yes.
You're the spinoff.
Exactly. Right? We're that the nonprofit spinoff.
Of all the spinoffs?
Yeah. Why'd you have to take it back to Bill?
I know. That's too bad. I'm trying to think of another spinoff now. There's been so many.
The universe pays. That's all I've got.
Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, what's the spinoff of the Happy Days?
That's right. That's right.
You do spin off, don't you?
Laverne and Shirley
is spin off of this podcast.
Is the theme song that plays through my head anytime I have to do something scary.
We're a spin off sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we have monthly workshops every month at the Jewish Community Center mm-hmm. on the third Wednesday of every month at 6:30. And each month we take a different topic and we expand on it. But mm-hmm. we also have 7 conferences every year all over the world. We are getting ready to go to Fort Lauderdale for our first sort of Florida Latin America conference in June next month, in a few weeks.
Who goes? Is it people who are interested in having a baby? It's just like what's
men
who
are
show
interested
up?
In
yes,
the baby
it's exactly. It's designed for our organization. Let me backtrack for a second. We left the Gay and Lesbian Center because we wanted to create a foundation, mm-hmm. essentially. We wanted to be able to not only educate people, we're a mm-hmm. 501c3 educational organization, but we also wanted to be able to help people who couldn't or otherwise afford surrogacy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we created this program called the Gay Parenting Assistance Program. Mm-hmm. And basically, anyone who comes to our conferences or finds us on the web, we're all over the web and YouTube, and you can mm-hmm. see our events from all over the world from your computer, but they would apply for, we have 2 stages of assistance. We have stage 1, which is discounts for services that are donated by the service providers who come to our events.
Like a surrogacy agency?
Yeah, so surrogacy mm-hmm. agencies, fertility mm-hmm. clinics,
lawyers,
individual doctors, psychologists, and at our big conferences, the ones we have in 7 cities throughout the world, it's like a 2-day marathon. It's surrogacy boot camp.
Wow.
And you literally learn everything. But you not only learn everything, you have access to providers who can give
help.
You information
about
it.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It really is.
And possibly are donating things
yes.
to
and
help
they,
you.
And, they, and we make sure that the attendees know the sponsors that are part of the GPAP program.
Yeah. Mm.
Because not only if you make it through stage 1, you get 10 to 25% discounts off of services that are very expensive. So it's a significant savings to a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But then every year we have invited stage 1 recipients apply for stage 2. And if it's stage 2, you get donated services and in cash grants to help you. You
still have like a scholarship fund.
It is like mm-hmm. a scholarship fund. You still have to be able to self-fund about $40,000 in the process.
But that's significant,
because
though.
Without any help, we're talking how much to make
so
a
like
baby.
$1.50?
Yes, it
I
is.
Mean,
it ours. I tracked. I'm the
yeah.
You know,
you're
the, right.
the
I'm
Excel
the lawyer
spreadsheet
one.
Guy.
Exactly. So I tracked everything that we spent, and our journey was about $160,000.
And this was 9 years ago,
and that's before the kid comes.
Yeah. So you're now probably mm-hmm. looking at 175 to 200. Yeah.
No, it's actually interesting because from an industry standpoint, there are more options for men out there now.
Right.
So
it's leveled the
so
price
that
out. So
it's leveled the price mm-hmm. out. There's still first full service agencies that will help you you know, hold your hand through every step of the way. Mm-hmm. But there are other agencies that will provide certain services, or you can pick and choose which services you want.
That's so helpful.
It really is. It's
amazing.
We always
call it like lesbian drafting. Like you find the lesbian who did it before you and you ask them what they did and then you follow. Mm-hmm. But this is a much more formulated plan where you can go in, get everything you need and find shortcuts. And, you know,
yeah,
it's like you're
it
going
really
to Disney.
Is.
How do you do Disney on a budget? It's that kind of,
it really is.
Fantastic.
And it's amazing because the, while the organization's geared towards gay men and trans women, mm-hmm. basically people who are through social infertility can't have children on their own,
right.
then I've had straight couples come to our event and say, I have learned more in 2 days than I did in 4 years of trying to understand what surrogacy was.
Now, would they be allowed to apply for the grants?
No, you have to be a gay man or a trans woman to apply for the
grant.
I mean,
listen, no judgment.
Sure, hey, we are men having babies.
Yeah.
We're not everybody having babies.
Yeah. No, right, exactly.
So, that's a really valid point. There's this line called, you're men having babies.
Yeah, exactly. So
you can't get it either.
So it really is. It's an amazing organization.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very happy to be a part of it.
Do you have any stat for how many babies have been born on your watch? Or
yes.
Anything like
you
I
do.
Do.
Of course you do.
I want to hear
I
it.
I do. I am very proud to announce. I believe the number now, and it may have gone up. I believe the number is 24 babies born through the Gay Parenting Assistance Program, stage two.
Wow.
We've given away over $2 million wow. in donated services, wow. discounted services, and cash grants. And we've helped hundreds of men and couples have.
And where can listeners kids. Find this if they're very interested?
If they go to menhavingbabies.org or youtube.com/menhavingbabies, they can find... programs that we have done about the Gay Parenting Assistance Program. Mm-hmm. And on our website, if you go to menhavingbabies.org, and at the top there's a bar that says assistance. Mm-hmm. And if you click on that, you can get to the stage one application. You
That's
can't
great.
Automatically apply for stage two. You have to be accepted into stage one first and then invited to apply for stage two.
Mm-hmm. It's just really great work.
It's great.
It really is.
You guys
it's
did
pretty
great
incredible.
Things for your friend, the neighbor, which I'm
Jan.
For
yeah.
Jan. And yeah. look at you doing great things for other men having babies.
Jamie,
now.
I feel like they're good people and we
beautiful.
Stink a little bit. So we're dying to say beautiful, right?
Beautiful.
Jamie's favorite word is it's beautiful.
You guys are beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Ah.
Thanks. Beauty to
please everyone tell me I'm beautiful.
You're gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I would have worn mascara for you if I'd known you were going to tell me how beautiful I was.
I think that's both you and I's go to is the mascara. You know we made
know.
It up if we put the mascara on.
I know. Gary was
so
worried
sad.
Because his jeans are dirty because our planted. Spring planting was I mean, yesterday for our block.
And
it's like, this
you.
Is a podcast.
No. What you really said was, no, they're lesbians. We're fine. We have a lawyer in the seat, so I can't let you leave without asking a lawyerly question.
Yes.
Okay.
So in the news recently was this story about the Oklahoma governor.
Mary Fallon?
Yeah, yes. We don't like, well, whatever.
Oh, Mary we shouldn't Fallon. Say her name.
What does it? I mean, she's the Oklahoma.
I mean,
governor.
It's in the news.
It is.
Anyway,
in the news.
She signed a law.
Call her out.
Yeah. I mean, my understanding of the gist of it is that she signed a law saying that if you run an adoption agency and it's against your adoption agency's beliefs, you don't have to place children with the gays.
Yes.
Is that or
that's
whomever.
Essentially what it is, and that unfortunately is playing out across the country in laws more than just adoption laws. I mean, adoption laws really cut to the core because. They're going for your family,
right?
Yeah.
Or for your possibility of family. Mm-hmm. But being able to say no, I just don't feel right with that
because it's against
to
our
religious beliefs.
To serve
someone for their, you know, their wedding
right.
flowers or their mm-hmm. wedding cake or any of these religious exemption laws, it's opening up a door that I think even the most rabid conservatives. Would find fearful if
because
it,
they
if
could
it
do it for
goes
anything,
to, exactly.
not just the gays,
if
right?
If it goes to it's illogical, inevitable end.
Yeah.
It could be anything. I just don't feel comfortable with that. It
right.
could be the excuse that excludes, you know, a black
overalls.
Child or a Jewish child
or an overweight
or,
person
or, overweight,
or somebody with a disability. Anyone, right?
Yeah, it's really sad. And it's one of the reasons also why I think families, gay families are families by design. Mm-hmm. They are families that are intended and intentional. And
there are no drunken surrogacies.
Yes.
No, I know. God, if only.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
That's the strangest story I've ever heard.
I got low visited and ordered eggs on the internet.
Honey, whose eggs are these?
You have to be loaded for like a year and a half, right. Which at that point, don't have children.
Yeah, right. It's crazy, but we have to protect our families. Yeah. I mean, not only are we carefully thinking out how to have them, but yes. Once we have them, we have to... make sure that for gay men that you have at least a pre or post birth order, which happens to it happens in the state where your surrogate gives birth, and it terminates the rights of the surrogate mother, mm-hmm. sometimes the rights of the egg donor, mm-hmm. and sometimes the rights of the surrogate mother's husband.
I've never heard of this.
Yes, it's a pre birth order, and we had to have a pre birth order.
Yeah,
and
we traveled frequently to visit our parents and had to drive through several states that didn't recognize our marriage. So when we packed up the car, Tony always got the Ziploc bag with all the papers in case we were in an accident.
I still travel.
One of these states.
I traveled with paperwork until Mary did our second apparent adoption. I had like a 25-page packet that we carried everywhere. Jamie, it's all right. You're going to do it, Jamie.
Breathe, Jamie.
You're going to get your second apparent adoption. It's okay.
We're doing it. You're doing it taking soon. A while. Life keeps...
You've had life things.
You know what? You're lucky that you live in New York right now because the law is protecting our families and it's recognizing our families in a way that in states like Oklahoma are not. And I think that's the fear that we have. And that's the reason why we chose also to do a second parent adoption after mm-hmm. the pre-birth order.
Now, as a surrogacy, who's the recognized, the sperm donor is the recognized parent?
Yes.
And then the other one has to do a second
yes.
parent? Okay.
Mm-hmm. But
Nicholas's birth certificate, which we just showed
showed him because it's Mother's Day, and when Nicholas was born, they did not have gender specific or gender neutral birth certificates. Mm-hmm. So on Nicholas's birth certificate, I'm his mother. I have to send ours back to get it changed too because it's kind of
funny,
incorrect.
Though,
but I like being his mother. I love it.
No. Ours said, I thought ours...
Parent.
But now it's New York. We were at the same time, though, I thought, because my daughter's 9.
Yeah, but Nicholas was born in North Carolina.
Oh. Because
gestational surrogacy is illegal in
New
York.
Right.
It's still illegal in New York.
So weird, because we're such a progressive state.
You would think so. We're progressive in some ways, but when family law comes to be... We were one of the last states to go to no-fault divorce.
Oh, that's true.
You had to claim why you were getting divorced when you filed divorce papers, which is so backwards and so ridiculous.
Because I said so, that's why.
Yeah. So just to put a period on...
Whose business is that?
Well, that's when the church, that's like church and religion and laws and...
We don't hate religious people, though. We love religious. We love you all.
Jamie, stop it. Some people won't like us. It's okay.
You know what? It's podcasts like this, and it's opportunities that you're giving them by introducing them to families like ours that hopefully will help change their minds. Because we knew that's what happened with marriage equality when people started seeing our...
Telling their own personal stories.
Right.
Yeah.
Tony, it's important you're my to talk new about the favorite stories. Person for saying that.
Oh, you're beautiful, Jamie.
Yes!
It just warmed my heart that you said that, because that's why we're doing this.
It is.
It's exactly why we're doing this.
No, so I welcome people who have questions. And Gary and I have always... If somebody asks us a question about our family and they are not being snide or not being, evil... We will happily answer it because I think it's an opportunity.
Intention matters and it's important to discuss. Yeah, it's absolutely. Important
this
to...
This conversation needs to be had.
Yes. It's important for people to be able to ask you questions because they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we have so many people that say to us, I'm so sorry. Can I ask who had the baby? Which, P.S., they both look exactly like me, but like, whatever. But the point is that they should feel comfortable asking that as long as you're not being an a-hole.
Well, and some people don't like that question and they don't like that question.
Or some people ask who's the mother or who's the father. And in that situation, you can say, we both are.
Yeah.
And that's your opportunity to educate them on, listen.
Because the intention matters. If that person had said it in a snide way, who's the mother? Well, then I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
But if they said it, Jamie, I'm not punching our viewers.
Robin's the fun one.
I told you I am not the fun one.
She's the very
my daughter
one.
Is not allowed to jump on anything. I mean, if I'm in the house, it's you're sitting. You put your hand, sit on your hands. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. But I'm not the fun one.
When we would drive to Pittsburgh, where I grew up, and through coal country that went.
Yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it would make me very nervous to drive through the middle of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And we stopped at that Burger King, and there was an elderly couple sitting next to us. And I was
this
like,
is when Nicholas was a teeny baby.
And I was like,
and we were fawning over him.
They think we stole this baby.
I just felt so naked. And I thought the woman came over. I thought she was going to say something. And can you tell her what she said?
Yeah, we were both scared. Yeah. And we were, you know, we came out as gay men a while ago.
It's scarier
yeah.
for two men
but
than it is
when you
for
have a child,
two
you
women.
Come out again.
Yes.
As
every day you have to make the decision to exactly. do I tell this person
and
or not?
This was one of the first opportunities that we had, or one of the first times that it really came up and we were nervous about it. And this woman came over and she said, "You know what? My daughter is gay. And I've always wanted her to have a family.
Oh my God.
So I'm so glad you guys are here." And it just melted our tension away. Oh. And we realized, you know what? We're going to go through the world, and we have a wonderful family that we're so proud of.
Yeah. yeah.
And if you want to get to know us,
yeah,
come great. And talk to us like yeah. this woman did. It was
And it just
it
goes
beautiful.
To show, give people a chance. Sometimes they'll surprise
give
you.
Give them the benefit
yeah.
of the doubt.
Yeah. Well, this was absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you it guys was are really fun.
Such a delightful couple.
You are.
And I'm so glad you were able to come share your story. Your story is fantastic.
You are you. A family well, with a capital F.
You really
thank
are.
You very much.
You guys are top-notch gentlemen.
Oh, stop it. Say it one
beautiful.
More time. Say it. You needed to. Say it one more time.
Just beautiful.
Oh, thank you thank for you. Having us. We had a pleasure. Really great time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
I loved those two.
I like them a lot.
I mean, just like, I loved them.
And then also, I was just talking to Gary. He knows all the fun stuff to do in the city that's
like
free.
What kind of fun stuff?
Well, he was telling me about... Well, first he was telling me about the gay film night, which I'm calling it the wrong thing because that's what I do.
Already?
Family
just left.
Pride night with the movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no. We're going to be at that, Jamie.
Are
you? And I are going to... No, you are too. Oh. It's on our to-do list. We're actually going to be at a bunch of the Pride events handing out stickers and koozies for
right.
your beers.
Right.
And we're going to be like handing out postcards. So
yeah.
come to those gay family night film night and things
well,
like
Gary
that.
Well, Gary knows them all.
Yeah.
So, you
Wait,
know.
Jamie, they're on our to-do list. We actually know them all as well.
I
they're
don't,
on my spreadsheet,
I
Jamie.
I don't know which way is up. I'm just treading
just
water.
Go where I tell
I
you to
have
go.
A newborn. Well, he's 5 months, but I'm still working it
Keep
out.
Keep holding on to that. Well, I love them. And I want to say, for anyone who is listening who thinks that they may want to use Anthony and his legal services, I think he does do quite a bit of specialization in the mm-hmm. LGBTQ field. Mm-hmm. And he works at Chianese and Riley Law. Was that?
I think he said Chianese.
Oh, he did.
Chianese.
And Riley Law. So you can get him there.
Okay, folks. It's time to hear from one of our listeners.
Hello. I just want to say thank you for making a great podcast. I'm a listener from Copenhagen, Denmark. And I'm so happy that I found this podcast because me and my partner, we are expecting a baby in 3 months. So I was just looking around to see what are some online resources. And then I found your show. It's very exciting to hear these feelings and thoughts about this, about being two moms and also about fertility. Yeah, different people's fertility journey, you could say. Also because we are also, we are two women and my partner is also, she's a woman identified, but she's very much gender fluid also in her representation. And she is the one who's carrying the child. Because I went into premature menopause because of a car accident, which not a lot of people talk about, your hormonal levels after accidents and trauma and what it can do to your fertility. But anyways, she was up for it and now she's pregnant and we are so happy and we are expecting in 3 months. And I will just keep listening to your show and thank you for making it.
Wow, Miriam, what an incredible story. Thank you so much for sharing. And congratulations and good luck with the baby. Keep us posted because we want to hear it. And everybody else, if you have anything that you'd like to say to us, feel free. You can record a voice memo on your phone and email us at ovariestalk@gmail.com.
We love to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're heading soon into Pride Month. So
yes,
it's very exciting.
Getting ready. Get mm-hmm. your Pride on, folks. Tell mm-hmm. us how you're going to celebrate Pride.
Please do.
Okay. All right.
And with that,
eggs,
ovaries,
out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.